The word today is promises. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. In the Bible, we are told certain things about heaven. God promises us that there will be no death or sorrow, only joy and happiness. Here to share some more of these promises is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Promises.
One of the joyful things that we as Christians have are the promises of God. You know, God has given so many beautiful promises about His being with us constantly, about His care for us and His love for us, that He will hear our prayers, that He will answer our prayers, that He will protect us, that He will lead us, that He will guide us. You know, all of these promises are so fantastic that I think it's interesting just to review them every once in a while. And so I've turned to the 21st chapter of the Revelation of St. John, the last book of the New Testament, the last book of the Bible. In the 21st chapter, there are some fantastic promises, just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful promises. And I would like to share them with you. For instance, let's take a look at verse 3 and 4. You know, here he says, for instance, that he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, that every tear will be wiped away. There will be no sorrow. There will be no grief. And then he says, there will be no more death. Now just think of that. Think of all the problems in our life that relate to death. Think of the grief and the sorrow and all of the pain and misery that is associated with death. You know, sometimes it's overwhelming. We have occasion where some family within our congregation will have so many things happen simultaneously that you wonder how much they can bear up under. You wonder how much they can take. And problems in this life are overwhelming, and a lot of them deal with death. Now, God's promise to us is that in heaven, there will be no death. We will live forever. There will never be death. Now, in that same verse, verse 4 of the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, it says, nor will there be grief, nor crying, nor pain. Now just think of that. Pain, crying, grief will be unknown. They will not be there. When you think of all the arthritis and you think of all the uncomfortableness and all the migraine headaches and all the problems, there will be none of that in heaven. Isn't that a beautiful, fantastic promise? And then in verse 5, Jesus says, look, I am making everything new, everything new. That's just a blanket promise that God says, everything will be new. You don't have to worry about anything breaking down or anything getting old or anything dying or anything like that, because everything will be made new. I also like the promise that he gives, and this is reminiscent of Jesus when he met the woman at the well, in verse 6, when he says, to anyone who is thirsty, I will give water from the fountain of the water of life. You remember when he said to her, if you knew who I was that was talking to you, you would ask for the water of life, where you would never need to be having your thirst quenched again, because it's a spiritual water. And that's what he's talking about here in verse 6 of the 21st chapter of Revelation. He has just said he is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. That's like saying the A and the Z, the first and the last letter of the alphabet, the beginning and the end. And he says, to anyone who is thirsty, I will give water, and it will be from the fountain of the water of life without cost. Now just think, this is a free gift of God. This is a gift that he gives us without any cost. You don't have to earn it. You can't deserve it. It is a gift of God. It is a free gift of God, and he gives it to anyone who desires it and wants it and believes in him as their personal Savior. You know, this 21st chapter is so full of promises and so full of good news. Let me just quickly turn to verse 23 of chapter 21. It says that the city, it's referring to the city of Jerusalem, the holy city, which has come down from the sky. The city does not need any sun or moon. You won't need any sun or moon to give it light, because the glory of God is what gives it light. And the Lamb, meaning Jesus Christ, is the lamp, is the way that shows us the light, and there is no need for sun or moon. Now just think of that. It's explaining here that while we're here on earth, we need light. There is night and day, and so we have the moon. We also have the sun during the day. But in heaven, there will be no need for sun or moon, because Christ himself is there. Jesus Christ himself is the light. You know, so often we have that illustration in the Gospels too, don't we, that Jesus is the light of the world. You know, I want to explain to you why I think all these promises are so important to us. During the time that Jesus Christ was here on earth, he gave us some explanations and some illustrations about heaven. As a matter of fact, there are numerous beautiful illustrations about heaven. You have the illustration, for instance, in the little parables about how it's like a woman who has lost a coin and she sweeps the whole house trying to find that coin because it's valuable. That's the kingdom of God. And you think about, for instance, the gift of the great pearl, how this gem finder is looking around, digging, and finally he finds this pearl, and it's a pearl of such great price that he sells everything else in order to get it. You know, these are pictures of heaven being worth everything in the world, being worth as nothing that can compare to the value of heaven. So I can imagine that while he is explaining heaven in so many different ways, that someone must have asked him, by the way, Jesus, by the way, Master, what is hell like? Now, I'm sure that that question must have come up. At least I think it did. And that's why when you hear and read in the Greek New Testament, the word hell really does not appear there. There's a strange word. We know what it means. It's the word Gehenna. Now, that's the word in Greek, and Gehenna was the name of a valley right there by the city of Jerusalem, just a little bit south and a trifle bit east, not very far. It's almost straight south of the city. And this particular valley, the Valley of Gehenna, was really a terrifying place because it became the city dump. Now, I grew up in Iowa, and every little town had its city dump, you know, usually about a mile, mile and a half away from the edge of the city, and yet close enough and convenient enough that you could take your old refrigerators and your old worn-out tires and things like this that you were discarding and take them out and dump them at the dump. Well, as a matter of fact, the dumps were such a trashy place that every once in a while they'd get in a bulldozer and try to cover a little bit of it, you know, with dirt or keep the stink and the odor down from the fact that people would throw not only their trash there, but also their garbage there. And every once in a while, someone in the city management would decide to try to burn off the city dump. And so they'd light it with fire and hope that a lot of the stuff would burn. Well, some of it did and some of it didn't. You know, like the rubber tires that were out there, they would begin to smolder and smoke, and they'd just burn for days. And you had this terrible black, heavy smoke and the odor again of burning rubber and so on. All of these things made the dump a very negative place. And this was the case of the city dump in Jerusalem. Now, not only was it the city dump, but it also was the city's sewage disposal. All the human refuse, whatever you want to call it, would drain down toward the south and go into the Valley of Gehenna. So here you had all the human excretion and waste. You had all the city dump. You had everything that was discarded. You had a stinking, messy place. And then in addition to that, there were two things that were quite horrible. Whenever a criminal, I mean a hardened criminal that was, you know, to be despised and wasn't to be given any kind of a decent burial, they would dump the bodies out there for them to rot and decay. And there was also a pagan god by the name of Moloch who was worshipped there, and his image was a fire pit with arms extended into which a pit of fire was built, and the people would come and toss their little babies into that fiery pit to try and worship this pagan god. What a horrible, horrible sight. That was the god Moloch. And the screams and the death and the stench. This was the Valley of Gehenna, and that's the word that's used in the New Testament several times to describe what hell is like. One of the worst conceivable types of situations you could describe. And so you have all these promises of God, like in Revelation 21, and throughout the scripture, there will be no tears, there will be no sorrow, there will be no death. It'll be positively fantastic, to contrast with what the people knew the horrible terribleness of hell would be like, which is eternal for those who reject Jesus and don't accept his love and forgiveness. There are only these two places, folks. Hell for the unbeliever who dies in their sin because they've rejected Jesus and his gift of forgiveness. And heaven, which is going to be eternal joy and bliss and happiness, where there'll be no sorrow, where there'll be no pain, where there'll be no death, and where there will be no problems and no tears.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.